Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
Peace is when the will of God and your will finally sync. And if you will just stop and say, okay, God, something's wrong. What is wrong? What are you trying to tell me? And he says, trust me, this is not it. Get out, move on. I'll take care of you. Then you've got to obey.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. Richard's unique style checks all the boxes with a lot of hope, insight, truth, and of course, humor. Today's talk with Richard will get our conversation started, but we want to keep it going with you. So let's stay in touch through our website, richardellis.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Tweety Bird. How many of you are old enough to even, does everybody know who Tweety Bird is even? Okay. Sylvester, Grandma, the whole deal. And I don't even know that I can pull this off the way he actually would say it, but I taught a putty tat. I did taught a putty tat. Is that pretty close? Thank you very much. I actually rehearsed that a lot. So why Tweety Bird? The other day I heard someone use a phrase that I don't know that I've heard maybe once, maybe twice in my whole life, and it was just kind of in a conversation. And it was the phrase coal mine canary. If you don't know what a coal mine canary is, let me kind of read you a little description here. If someone says coal mine canary, it's an allusion to a caged canaries, birds that mining workers would carry down into the mine tunnels with them. If dangerous gases such as methane or carbon monoxide leaked into the mine, the gases would kill the canary before killing the miners, thus providing a warning to exit the tunnels immediately. So they would pay attention to these Tweety birds because if the Tweety bird died, they were close to death. Something was not right. Now that is a very sensitive tool. Obviously they don't have these canaries in most of the world. They have monitors. We have things in smoke detectors in homes, even carbon monoxide monitors. We have all these monitors, what? To tell if something bad is coming our way so that we can be aware of it and get out, escape, avoid calamity. The definition actually for this coal mine canary thing is something whose sensitivity to adverse conditions makes it a useful early indicator of such conditions, something which warns of the coming of greater danger or trouble by a deterioration in its health or welfare. So here's where we're going today. It is possible that you have no detector. You have no means of knowing when something calamitous is about to befall you. You don't even know it's about to happen. If you go back even in history, there was a terrible hurricane down in Galveston. And I'm always fascinated by how now we can tell when a storm is coming, evacuate a place, and most people, if they're smart enough to get out and lives are saved. But if you saw the pictures from that hurricane, kids were playing in the street. The ocean began to flood into the streets. No one thought anything of it. Kids playing in that water, and like nothing was going on, and then all of a sudden, bam, thousands of people are killed in Galveston, Texas, because they didn't know what was coming their way. So what do we have? We have radar, we have systems, we have ways of knowing when something is up, monitors, radar, all these tools, and yet even with all of that, people say, well, I'll weather the storm. Some storms you can't weather. You're not going to make it. And God sends you warnings. He sends you these little indicators that say, look, pay attention. I am talking to you. I am trying to save your life. I'm trying to help you avoid. You think you got trouble now. If you don't heed these warnings, you're in a heap of trouble. Go to Genesis chapter 3, if you would. It's amazing how many things are traceable all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Let me start with you if you're a Christian. If you have come to a place and you understand that Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead to rescue you, to literally save you from yourself, from your sin, from hell, the grave, death, everything that's against you, and you believe all that personally that he did it for you, then you are a Christian. If you are a Christian, then you have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of your body. He lives in you. You have an early warning system built into your life. Does everybody know what I'm saying? It is not optional. If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in you. And the Holy Spirit lives in you, can fill you, can overflow into other people's lives, but he also can speak to you and say, run for your life. Get out of this situation. Don't go over here. Don't look over there. Don't even touch certain things. Get away from it. And if you will heed those warnings immediately, it's kind of, you've heard me say this before, maybe, you know, with my kids, we didn't count. You know, I'm going to count to three. You can learn to count at school now. Do it now. And it's first time obedience, not one. And what does that teach kids to do? Well, let her get to three, and then I'll decide what I'm going to do, right? Count, slow, whatever you want to do. I'm not going to do what you want me to do anyway. So the Holy Spirit speaks to you. It is possible that your sin, your life, your choices have gotten so out of control that you cannot even hear his voice anymore. You've got to get quiet, still, get somewhere and say, okay, God, what am I not listening to? Peace is when the will of God and your will finally sync. And if you will just stop and say, okay, God, something's wrong. What is wrong? What are you trying to tell me? And he says, trust me, this is not it. Get out, move on. I'll take care of you. Then you've got to obey. You've got to listen. You say, well, I'm glad the young people are hearing this. This is for anybody, everybody. Go look at Genesis chapter 3. Let me give you, this is just basic, a place where he can take you apart, take me apart. Genesis 3, verse 1. The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? And this is the no-brainer place to start. The enemy, the world, will do what? They will come at you and said, oh, really, that's what God says. Well, who believes that? Who's going to do that? If you got a brain, you will. Find out what the scripture says, what God says, and then do it. Just simply do it. Where does the devil attack them? From scratch. The serpent attacks them at what God said. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And even that is not what he said. So Satan is challenging what God said, and Eve is already misquoting what God said. Because if you go back, go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil you shall not eat. From the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. He didn't say you can't touch it. He said, don't eat it. But she's taking it to some other place. Don't get away from what he just simply says. It's simple. Then the serpent, back in chapter 3, verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. So says, no, God said that, but that's not going to happen. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and this is where we get in trouble. We go, well, that does make sense. The devil may make sense, but you've lost your mind if you believe him. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, so she sees it, oh yeah, this does look appetizing, that it was pleasant to the eyes, so I would like eating it, it looks good, and a tree desirable to make one wise, and now the serpent's telling me, I'll even be smarter, I'll be wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate. So you say, well, what does that have to do with me? It's every day. Now you say, well, I don't know what the Bible says. Well, then read your Bible. You say, well, it's not like all the answers to life problems are in the Bible. Yes, they are. Read the scriptures, find out. You say, well, if God just spoke to me out, you know, audibly, I'd do what he said. You won't even do what he says in print. Why would you do what he says if he just showed up? Read the simple directions and heed those. Go to Psalm 19. And this, again, these things are replete throughout scripture. I'm just giving you a little taste of these so you can go chasing this stuff a little bit. Psalm 19, let's jump in at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. It doesn't sound like whatever the Lord has to do with here is a bad thing for you. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And then look at verse 11. Moreover, by them your servant is what? Warned. So this is what is so stinking frustrating, and I guess everybody who's got kids or a parent understands, no one could tell us anything when we were kids, and now we're parents and we try to tell our kids, look, you don't understand. I have already driven down this dead-end street, had an accident, had to be rescued, pulled back out to the road. You don't want to go down this road. And they stare at you like, well, you're just some kind of idiot because you don't, you know, I'm smarter than you. I got information you don't have. And where did you get that? So you say, well, that's everybody. It doesn't have to be everybody. It is possible for you to do a simple thing and say, wow, I'm going to read a little history, and I hear that the only thing that we learn from history is that we don't learn anything from history, so I think I'm going to change that. I would like to learn something from history. So I'm going to look at the patterns, people, what they've done, where that's gotten them. I'm going to read the scriptures. I'm going to see what happened to people in scriptures and where I'm being warned. And then when the Holy Spirit prompts me and says, wow, this looks really beautiful, but it's not going to be good for you, then I am just simply going to walk away. Keep reading. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So there's warning, and if you heed the warning, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Go to Proverbs chapter 5, and this is for men specifically. A huge chunk of scripture that is completely no-brainer, but we are all, you know, a lot of men are just brain dead, and if you don't read this and don't heed this, you end up in a really bad spot. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable. You do not know them. You don't know what you're getting into. Then verse 7, therefore hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. So here's what happens. Here's how the process unfolds. You're a guy. You're driving down the road, and you have a thought. Let's say you're a single guy. You're driving down the road. You have a thought. Wow, I'm going to go by and see how so-and-so's doing, right? I'm going to go check on her. Go buy the house. You're going to buy the house, all right. So you go by, and the whole time you start to turn in that direction. If you're a believer, here's what happens. If you're not a believer, you're just like a sheep going to the slaughter. Because unless you have a conscience or any will left in you, you just kind of do whatever. If it feels good, you just go do it. And so you have this, your heart begins to race. It's just like boom, 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 boom. Oh my gosh, this is going to be so crazy. What if she's there and what could happen? In that moment, if you hear anything, the Holy Spirit will say, no, I promise you, you will hear, no, don't go there. That is trouble. Don't even get near her house. And you start driving that direction, and there is a point of no return. And I think everybody in the room, if you're a drug addict, an alcoholic, a sex addict, whatever it is, there is a point where you cross a line and you literally cannot get back. It's like falling over a precipice. What I'm trying to say to you is when you're sitting there saying, well, I'm just thinking about it. I'm just fantasizing about it. It's just an idea. It's like little kids or grown-ups, in my case, sitting at a dinner table with a flame, and you're running your finger through the flame, just back and forth. We're not doing anything. You know what happens to me when I start playing with fire like that at dinner? I tend to start looking for sugar packets. Because I'm not satisfied with just playing with the fire. I'd like to actually see something on fire. Right? Keep reading here. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. And they say, how I have hated instruction. Now you're saying it. This is what the problem was. I hated instruction, and my heart despised correction. I couldn't stand for anybody to tell me what to do. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. And then he goes on to say how you should live. I mean, how much more pain and tragedy do you have to see before you say, okay, God, I'm out. I get it. I'm not going down that path. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. And this is Paul writing to these people in Corinth who were very screwed up people, tough past. Probably all of them had a pretty tough past because of the culture they lived in. And he said, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. It is very simple, okay? And you say, well, then what is the rest of the simplicity of the gospel? The simplicity is that you become a Christian that simply. To be a Christian is extremely simple. We complicate it. It's just this. You do what he says. You trust him. You obey him. You realize that the Holy Spirit moves into you physically and he will speak to you and direct your path. And if you will read the scriptures and talk to him, pray, let him reveal things to you, you will know what to do. Now, where it gets sideways, I would date girls, and I promise you, early on, I remember one girl, we were best friends for years. I went on some ski trip with her family, and we're sitting out on a picnic table somewhere, and I thought, wow, maybe there's more here. And so I kissed her. And 2.5 years later, and cussing and screaming later, and don't even get to see her anymore and talk to her, one of the best friends I've ever had, I knew inside the whole time, this is not right. This is not going to work. And what would I do? I'd go, la, 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 put my fingers in my ears and, you know, keep moving to figure it out. How much time are you going to burn up of the little bit of time you have allotted just screwing up your life? Now, here's how really, really simple this gets. Whether it is a relationship, a job, you say, oh, well, maybe he's talking about my marriage. I've found a way out. I am not talking about that. And people say, well, but, you know, he cheated on me. She cheated on me. I have biblical grounds for getting out. The Bible nowhere requires you to divorce anyone for any reason. It allows for some reasons, but it does not require it. So you can stay married, believe it or not, through almost anything. You say, well, what about physical abuse? You can be separated in a safe place and still be married. You say, well, I'm not gonna be happy that way. I hate to tell you, but your happiness is not the goal. His glory is the goal. What's the simplicity? You say, well, but she's not gonna change. Nothing's gonna happen. He's not gonna change. Nothing's gonna happen. You know what? Let God determine that. Just do what he's telling you to do. And if he's been telling you to do something for years and you already know just listening today what that is, just do that. How crazy simple could that possibly be? Just do it. You say, I'm just scared. I just can't trust him. It's not gonna go well. Keep reading that chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. For the sake of time, let me jump down to verse 12. He said, but what I do, I will also continue to do that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, and look at this, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Now, here's where the warning really needs to be strong. The devil is so crafty and so smart and so amazingly good at what he does, he can literally show up and transform himself into an angel of light. I don't like horror movies. I don't do horror movies. I got enough crap in my head already. I don't need that in my head. So I can't go to them. I don't want to go to them. I have enough fear issues without horror movies, right? You get in a horror movie, you see all that stuff. And you go, wow, well, that's evil. Here's what we don't know how to deal with because we don't walk and talk with God enough and know his word enough. It's not when he shows up like a demon with fiery eyes and gonna kill you. It's when he walks in the room beautiful. It's when he literally transforms himself into an angel of light, not darkness. You have to be so wise, so discerning, so on it, so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that when something beautiful walks in the room, you know whether it's of God or if it's of hell itself. Or you're going to get your butt kicked the rest of your life because he shows up beautiful. I told a friend of mine who's here today, standing in the back, people coming in while we're singing, and I'd hug person after person, and I know you people. And what is so cool about being here is the people that I really know and that really get it are people who know they have nothing without Jesus. That without him, they would literally die because they've tried it their way maybe. Or there are people that are wise enough to know, you know what? I've seen enough pain. I've seen enough trauma. I don't need to go down that path to prove it doesn't work. I'm trying to get your sensitivity back. I have certain calluses on my hand that I could take a needle and just poke and feel nothing. You got those? That's what can happen to your old heart. And stuff that you used to hear and be aware of, you just don't even feel it anymore. You can get the sensitivity back. I talked to a girl this week who's been through a lot of challenges. She's found a guy. I think she'll end up married to this guy. And in our conversation, she talked to me. They'd be out in a park and holding hands and kissing and things. You know, if you don't want to be with somebody that way, you probably shouldn't be marrying them. So I got nothing against what my grandfather called biological appeal. He actually called it that old biological appeal is what he called it. But here's simply what she said to me. I have not seen where he lives yet. Because I don't want to put myself in that situation. What is she talking about? See, in this world today, it's like, what are you talking about? If you haven't slept with a guy, you're not going to marry him, are you? She doesn't want to get in his apartment because it's hard enough to do the right thing at the park. So if she gets in the apartment, close the door, who's going to know? And you know what? Who cares anymore? Because no one's doing the right thing anymore because the right thing isn't even the right thing anymore. And then you read the scriptures and it says, oh yeah, there's still a right way to go about this. And so there's a woman who's very encouraging to me. And you say, well, I didn't do it that way. So now what are you saying about me? I'm saying you are where you are, deal with what you've done and get the sensitivity back. Listen to the early warning systems and don't go there.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website. RichardEllis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, RichardEllis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
How many of you know of something that God has put on your heart, maybe it's 10 days ago, maybe it's 20 years ago, and you know there's something you got to do? It's not about praying about what it is. It's just about praying about whether you're going to do it or not. You already have an idea what that is. Raise your hand. Okay. I appreciate your honesty. Okay. This is so simple. Just go do that. You say, well, what about the consequences? What about the consequences if you don't? How much of your life have you burned up waiting for this? And I promise you, for the rest of you, you say, I'm firing on all cylinders. The devil ain't dead. He hadn't been locked up yet, and he's got game, and he will show up. He shows up in my life, trying his stupid tricks. And there are little things I've said before. I'll give you another one. If you spend any time around me whatsoever, you know you have never seen me alone with a child. Now, why would I not get alone with a child? Am I afraid I'm going to do something? It's not what I'm afraid I'm going to do. I don't even want to give you a thought where you feel like your kids are in danger. I don't get alone with women. And people think I'm some kind of lunatic. I promise you, if you're a businessman or a businesswoman and you're attractive, you say, well, but it's business. I got to do this. I'm telling you, it'd be worth quitting a job over getting yourself in a situation where you destroy your home. And you say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a woman. I'm in business. And if some man's thinking that, that's ridiculous. It doesn't matter whether it's ridiculous to you. Everybody's got to know who they are and where they are and what they can handle and listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to lunch with you. Women call and say, will you go to lunch with everybody else? I'm like, no, I don't. You can come to the office. I got big plate glass windows we can sit behind. Be careful. Be careful. Because you think what I'm saying is that your life is at stake. It's really not even that. Because if you're a Christian, it's not your life. It's his life. You're bought with a price. And he has a job that he's trying to do with you. Let him do it, okay?
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. The message of the gospel is one we take very seriously in our mission to reach the planet, and you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to tell someone about the change they've made in your life. You can even share today's talk with them through the website, richardellis.com. And we'd love to hear your story, as well as to how these talks have made a difference to you, too. Give us a call, 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellis.com. And while you're there, check out all the pages we put together for you, richardellis.com. Also, be sure to click on the Contribute tab to send your very generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.